Wow, isn't that amazing? We get told now. So hello, hello everyone. Welcome to Answering the Call of Your Purpose. I am Luann Marine and I have the beautiful, beautiful guest, Julianne Black, with me today. And just a quick reminder of what this is all about. So for me, purpose is everything and meaning. And I wanted to bring on amazing people who have really inspired me to also get on purpose and how they live their life and through their business. So that's what we're here about, how to find your purpose, express it, and for all that joy. And we've got the shiny, beautiful Julianne. So hello, Jules.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Lou. I'm so excited about today.
Me too.
Always a pleasure chatting to you.
Oh my goodness. And we had a good catch up because we haven't seen each other for quite a while, but we've been on this journey together for a long time. So I hold you in my heart and in such high regard. And I just love the way we were talking just before that you've pulled me on a few adventures in this journey of purpose. So first of all, tell us a little bit about you and what you are doing right now.
Well, what I'm doing right now is running a business called Be Brilliant Now. And
best name ever.
Yeah. I want to be brilliant now.
Yeah.
And we all can be. It's all possible. And so that's primarily around peak performance and how we can have emotional well-being as well as behavior change. So they're my specialties in being able to call people lovingly on the bad habits that they continue to have that we can be blindsided by. So I like to talk about it in the way of, if your life was a TV show, would you watch it? If yes, why? And if no, why not?
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. So what led you to this work? Because knowing you for, oh gosh, I don't even know how many years now. It'd be over 10, surely.
Yeah.
I think my kids, Cooper's 17 now and he was only like 4 or 5 then. But, and you say the TV show.
2004-ish.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're working with peak performers now and people who want to like clear those blocks.
I'm working with high achievers. Essentially, most of them are entrepreneurs.
Yes.
And they've got very, very successful businesses. And they're at a time in their life where they're kind of looking around and they know that there's something left untapped, unresolved, or unfulfilled. And they've got the time and the success on their rungs. And I call it they're in a transition of shifting from ambition to meaning. And they're looking now for going, what's going on here? You know, what got me here is like, yes, there's a lot of hard work and determination and rah, but they're finding that sometimes they're still sabotaging themselves and they're wondering why that's coming up. They want to clear their family history. They want to clear the plot twists and the storylines that they know are habitual and they know they're not serving them to perform at their best right now.
It's like that drama that keeps on going. Like I was watching. So, for instance, is it the Highlander or what's that one with that beautiful man with the red hair? The Highlander, or anyway. So his wife is in this movie, and it's drama after drama after drama, and it's kind of exciting to watch for a little bit. But then I'm like, oh no, I can't do this anymore. I'm over it. Like, surely you've got to get out of this. So it's kind of like that. But what led you to this work? I know there's you know, it's never a straight line. It's all over the place, but
so for me, if we go all the way back, I started as a child model. So I was in front of the camera when I was a child, did that from, I don't know, 6 until 14 or something like that, and then went behind the scenes and was an assistant to a casting director during my school holidays. And then I went on and I managed a modeling agency when I was 19.
Wow.
And I helped a gorgeous girl, Melinda Clark, run a small business for the Map of Melbourne, which has got huge popularity again now. And then when I was 22, I was like, I want to get back into the TV or the entertainment. And at that stage, I was aspiring to be a producer in advertising. I thought making TV commercials would be super cool. But I got into TV and I landed in the light entertainment quiz shows. I landed a gig on The Price is Right when I was 23, and before my 25th birthday, I was producing that show. So we brought Larry Ender to you. You're welcome, ladies.
Love it, yes.
And it just kind of, I had this meteoric rise and I absolutely loved what I did. I worked on, I was a production manager for the Sydney Olympic Games opening closing ceremonies. Mm. I came back to Melbourne and produced Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And there were a whole lot of things that were going on, but I kept on having this metaphysical tap on my shoulder saying that there's more that I could be doing to inspire people, or being in TV, there's a lot of dysfunction. And we all just like get on. And we all just get on and do the job. And, you know, it's meant to be glamorous, but it's far from glamorous in a lot of ways. Yeah. But I was like, who the hell am I to think that I could have anything to offer? And so rather than me jumping straight into thinking that, I went into a personal quest to find out, well, how and why do I communicate the way I do? I know how that movie's going to end. Why do I choose to take that road anyway? Why do I poke the bear? Why do I have to continually clean up the collateral damage? Mm. Why do I find myself at high highs and extreme lows? What's going on in my makeup, in the background of me? And that led me on this pretty amazing journey of getting a master coach in life coaching and going all the way through my training in NLP. So I went from practitioner to master practitioner to become a trainer. Then I could teach practitioner and master practitioner trainings so many different modalities. We went to the States and studied hand analysis together. We did so many different modalities together. And I didn't find that it was just one. Mm. It was a culmination of all of them that gave us real depth. Yeah. NLP was definitely a catalyst for me. Not only did it save my life, but it helped me claim my life. It helped me harness my determined spirit. It helped me understand and appreciate the success strategies that I had in place, rather than thinking I was a complete muck up.
Yeah. And they're always there, aren't they, Jules? Like that, but you know, because we've got ourselves out of some pretty tricky situations, and not just you and I together, but you know, by ourselves as well. And we kind of forget that as we grow, or you know, it's like, wow, I used that strategy. So the NLP, and then not just that, so all of it. So what do you obviously it's led you to your purpose. What would you say your purpose is, if you had to put it in a sentence or a paragraph? Or
a very dear friend of mine calls me the truth bomber, right? So he's like, deliver the truth bombs with such love and such a kind heart. And so I say that it's lovingly calling people on their stuff, because you know there's always blindsiding areas that we don't realize that we're doing. In the life purpose scenario at the hand analysis, it was a visionary leader in the spotlight sharing a message to the masses. And there's an innovator piece and there's a community piece in there. And I like to think that my passion for TV and then... because I couldn't understand. I love full integration. right? So being fully, a person needs to be fully integrated. So if they're shifting and transitioning into another arena, then they're bringing all the goodness from their past into this. It shouldn't be separated. So I had a really big struggle going, well, how am I going to marry TV with this? Yeah. And that's when I developed the metaphor of, if your life was a TV show, would you watch it? And I started to define the fact that there are five real elements if you want to be brilliant now. And that's knowing your purpose and your big dream and your mission. So that's being the producer. Then there's the script writer, which is about your storylines, the plot twist. What are the scenes that you continually write yourself into that you're not very happy with writing yourself into, but you just feel like you do it verbatim anyway. And then there are like, and then there's the star, which is being, are you performing? Are you performing congruently with the storyline that you want to have, as well as the vision that you want to have? Because that's where the element goes a bit cuckoo. Because a lot of the time we can look at, I can see someone's behavior and the results they're achieving now. And the results that they're achieving now is in conflict with the story they say that they want and the vision they say they want. And so therefore we've got our work just in that little section. There's all the work. Being a lot of the times it's about being able to lovingly say, we're doing this again. See this, we're here again. Ah, the reason why you're doing this is because of this and this. Right. And then there's the director, which is about being able to influence your focus on the run. Right. So if you can imagine that you're in the control room of your life and you don't just have one camera angle coming at you, you've got the angle of all the different arenas. And so you can choose what goes to air, you can choose what goes on the cutting room floor. And it really is, if you're there and you need to help cut. You need to call cut the scene because it's like you feel like, and you know that it goes into slow motion. Like I was working with a client one time and she was telling me about this scenario and she's like, but Jules, I just found myself doing it anyway. I said, yeah, so let's rewind that movie back to the moment, because I'm sure in the moment you would have seen that there was a split second pause, like sliding doors moment. Yeah. And in that pause, you could have gone this way, which would give you the results that you're used to, or you could have gone this way, which is a little bit different because it's unknown. You don't know what the result's going to be. You could go down that road and the result could be different, and you could celebrate yourself and go, whoa, yay, I did it. Or you could just go with what's familiar. And she's like, oh my God, you're so right. There was a pause. And I did it anyway.
Choice, right?
As long as you remembered that there was a pause, then next time you're in that situation, the pause or the gap will get bigger. So if we can hit the pause button at that moment, realign with ourselves and go, okay, so who is it that I want to be? How is it that I should, that I would like to behave in this moment? Take a nice deep breath in. Reset, call action, and get back into the scene again. And all of that can happen in a split second. That's not like a time warp of like, I have to, and sometimes like if you need it, go to the bathroom, reset, come back out again. But always always reset back onto your highest intention, your purpose, whether it be for an interaction or a big dream over time.
Yeah. And I think I love that because, you know, the truth bomb. So if you're saying your purpose is the truth bomb, and I love that scenario that you just took us through. I'm like, oh, yeah. you don't have to say who it was, but did you receive some truth bombs yourself to get you on purpose? Like can you share if you want to, like one of the biggest ones that really went, oh, or was it a lot of little ones? Ooh, grenades rather than the big.
Constant. There has been there's been so many in regards to the master teachers that I've worked with. Look, there's been so many, and I think that, you know, one back even on my, the intake weekend for my life coaching course, back in 2004. I've arrived completely full of snot and sick with the flu and the cold, and I've like turned up anyway thinking that I'm a soldier and And the master trainer was like, wow, you have to do everything the hard way, don't you?
Right. Wow. Yeah.
And in the end, I was like, went on a rant in my head.
Yeah.
Lots of swearing. Who do you think you are? What are you talking about? Why don't you unpack that for me? You can't just drop me in that and then not explain what that actually means and how I can get myself out of that. And which in itself keeps it alive.
Yeah.
Right? And then
another
one in that particular training, she's feisty. And passionate, and I'm sitting there and sitting on my hands and biting my tongue pretty much the entire training, and I'm like giving myself lectures in my head going, don't open your mouth, Julianne, don't open your mouth, she's going to take you down, don't do it. And then we get into this this arena where she talks about stories and beliefs, and beliefs are stories that we believe are true. And I just went, and she's like, Julianne, do you have something to say? And I'm like,
I didn't say anything but the look on my face.
Nothing. And me being a teacher and an international speaker now, I can look at the audience and I can see my own behavior, right? Waiting patiently for me to pop. Which I did, and essentially that came through, and we did a we ended up doing this beautiful process that went through and me feeling like I was caged, and she's like, well, can you find the key and let's open the door. And I was like this this beautiful majestic tiger and came out of the cage, and she's like, how good does it feel being out of the cage? And I'm just like, oh my god, it feels amazing. And she's like, can you appreciate that you can stay out of the cage now because you know where the key is and you know how to unlock it, and that perhaps the door wasn't really locked in the first place. And a beautiful tarot card that demonstrates that as well with the devil. So it was what I found really interesting with myself in that moment as well was that the moment the process was open, I just ran straight back into the cage and I held the door closed because I went into the old pattern, which hadn't been cleared, because none of this had been cleared yet. Because I'd signed up originally to have a life coach, not to become a life coach.
Right. Okay. But somehow the road took you there.
I was a highfalutin TV producer with no interest in changing careers.
Yeah.
I was. She was very good at sales and I was very good at signing my name.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went on this journey and so we hadn't cleared anything, but what happened was that I reverted back to a time when I had felt such intense humiliation, and I felt like this was that example. Little did I appreciate back then that that was the beginning of me letting go of some of these stories that no longer served me. And even though I couldn't change history, I could negate and neutralize the effect that those stories were having on me, because every time I retold it, I was so attached to the emotional intensity of it that it was as if it was happening now, even though it may have happened when I was 11, 12, 13 or 15.
Oh, wow. So
and that's kind of that is the pinnacle. And then there was just, there's been lots of kind reminders over the years and how I've twisted that into darkness. Right. So,
because that leads me to the next question. So thank you for that. And you know, just the way you tell or give us that information, or I was going to say tell a story, but it's not a story, or perhaps it is a story, right? But I can just see you coming out of that cage, and, you know, and then I've had conversations with people about issues, and I've been that person too. Like, we had a conversation just before we got on about, oh, that's gone now. I went, how many times did you hear me say that to you or to somebody else? I'm thinking, you were right there in it. So then you talked about the pat on your shoulder, that there's something more. How did you answer that call? And I mean, I call that the call to your purpose. How did you go, oh, okay, what's going on here?
Well, I'm a bit of an all-in girl.
You are?
That's even an all-in goddess.
So I
kind of just jumped off. It would have been in 2005, maybe 2006, where I just jumped off and went, okay, what does this thing called life coaching, teaching, presenting business look like? And I didn't do too much research into that. So I just kind of made it up as I went along. And to be really real, it's been a monster hard journey, I think, because I'd set it up like that. And I always felt like I had been an accidental coach. Even though it is my calling, and you know, even back then when I was doing pro bono work with clients, they would write in their testimonials to me like, "Jules, you were born to do this. Your listening skills, your attention to detail, your ability to see what it is that I want to go for is phenomenal, and I've never experienced being heard and held like what you do." And that was from men and women. And I was like, huh, but it's still this my battle, or my hero's journey, where we're always up against an arch nemesis or a villain. One of mine has been being crippled by self-doubt and second-guessing my ability. And that has, I think that has been a self-perpetuating, like it's been an ongoing battle.
Well, then that kind of leads me to the next thing, right? So then why, you know, knowing our purpose is one thing, and I want to kind of, you know where I'm going with this, right? Knowing it's one thing, what is one of the tools, and you've given so many tools here already, but it's not just knowing it. We've got to do the work to implement it, and the shadow work and the values work and whatever. What's one thing that you can share with us that's worked for you?
You know, the thing that I really appreciate about the gifts that I've been given is to make it playful, right? So throughout my life, I have gone in and out of seeing psychologists, and the overriding theme for all of them was that it was my fault, right? So the reason why I was in the situation that I was in was because it was my fault. And so what I like to do is I like to get really playful and say to people, especially when they're in the middle of a tantrum or they're in the middle of something going on. And I'm like, you deserve an Oscar for the performance that you're giving right now, but is it the performance that you'd actually like to win an Oscar for? And more often than not, it's enough of a state breaker in order to kind of go, huh, no, it's not, but this is all I know. And so it's time to write a different story. It's time to start to see that there are some different options here. You don't have to be in this old rerun anymore. You can change how you're being perceived and write a completely new script for yourself. You can have a completely different vision for yourself. Yeah. And it's going to take time, but we've got to remember that it's taken, like in my instance, it's taken 30, 40 years for me to be entrenched in that same theme. And so if I want to release myself from it, there's got to be like a daily reminder that I've got other choices available. Yeah. And so for me now, it's very much of like, you love what you do, just get on and do it. And so there's a vibrancy and a radiance that kind of comes out of that, because it's filled with joy, even though we're going to be looking at straight in the mouth of the lion.
Yeah.
It's going to be a joyful, even humorous time together.
Yeah. I think that's why, yeah, that's why we find it so vibe, because it is. I think life is funny. Like I do. Like it's like we make it so serious sometimes. I'm like, oh, that's actually hilarious. You know, how I got myself into that situation. Like, well, let's look at this. But why do you think it's so important for us to do our purpose work?
The purpose work. For me personally, it's always lit my fire, right? So when I was working in TV, I friggin' loved it.
Yeah.
And I've just got asked to do a spot on Lego Masters, which is just
Right, yeah.
And stepping back into the studio again after so many years, I'm like,
put on this car,
It was just like a duck to water, and it was really beautiful. And I just feel like it's a permission piece to be able to feel alive and to love who you are and what you're up to in the world. Like I love being able to help my clients get to that space. Especially because they've already achieved a certain amount of success in their world, and yet they feel they're down on themselves for some reason. I remember going through a particular strategy session with one client, and we got through the strategy call, and I said to her, "Do you realize that you have the life of your dreams right now?" And she's like, "Not until we did these, you asked me these questions."
Mm-hmm. And that's not always the case for everyone, right? You wouldn't say
no.
That to, yeah. So, wow.
But it was just a really, and I think that there's a certain element where we can look around and we can also be really hard on ourselves. Like the majority of my life, I've been so hard on myself.
Yeah.
And so I've just missed. There's times when I've missed out on the joy, or I could have flipped the script really quickly and kind of had a laugh rather than being so catastrophized by this situation and just going, "Oh, why does this always happen to me?"
Yeah.
And yet just kind of flipping the script and having a laugh about the situation in the moment, and then imagine how many beautiful kind of things from the universe could have come in to help support me, because I would have been much more open to seeing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. You know, and one thing, I don't know what it is. I mean, your website, and we're going to put all the links, you've got a freebie for us later, but your website's Be Brilliant Now. And every time I speak to them, I just want to say, brilliant. That's brilliant. I don't know what it is. You just triggered something in me. I'm like, oh, it sounds so weird. But it is. You are this radiant, brilliant, amazing woman bringing joy into, on purpose, in your own life and those that who you touch, you know, not in a weird way, but you know,
not in a creepy way.
So I know this is probably a hard one. Well, maybe it's not, but as we kind of wrap this up, but I'd love for you to tell us about one of the favorite people that you've worked with as their mentor, and the story, like why are they your favorite? And you've kind of mentioned a few anyway, but I'm thinking, God, what else has she done with the amazing people? How lucky are they to have you as their mentor? But yeah, what's this a story?
I've got like a thousand flooding.
I know, I've got like
very beautiful. Well, there's one which I love because it's a demonstration. Oh, there's two now, but they're on the same theme,
right?
One was working with their boss and they were having trouble, and he was very much, oh, but it's not just me, Jules, like everybody like has trouble communicating and connecting with this person. And I was like, wow. And he's like, what? I said, wow, he has no idea the power that he wields, right? Because he's just in his office doing his thing. And if he's like what you say that he is, he's just like, he's so far in his own head that he can't see everything that's going on. But you were all there assuming a character role because you're looking at this person and you're assessing what this person is like in the mood that they're in. And so you assume the role and your shoulders start slouching and your head goes down and you start having a negative dialogue in your head and da 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 da. And he's like, yeah, wow, how do you know that? And I'm like, and then he's like, well, but I do this thing where I like literally he drops his papers and he gets completely confused and he gets tongue-tied and all of these things go on. And of course that makes him feel terrible afterwards because he's like, oh God, I did it again. I'm better than this. What's going on? And it's because he's assuming the role because he's giving all the power over to this other person. And so therefore he's behaving in a way and performing in a way that is out of alignment with who he actually is and the brilliance that he has to provide. And so I said to him, okay, so how do you want it to be? That's like the key question to ask in all situations. So how do you want it to be? And he's like, well, I want to like, and he's like straightened up his posture. So he's put his shoulders back and he's looking at me face in the face and he's got a clear head and he's articulating what it is that he wants. And he knows exactly what he is trying to share because he's done the preparation and he's got all his paperwork and his facts and his figures to back up what he's saying. And it's all amazing. And I said, brilliant. So we did a process of anchoring that into him. And he's just like, wow, I feel like a completely different human. This is amazing. Awesome. And then he rings me the next day and he's like, man, woman, what did you do to me? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I just had a conversation with my boss. And it went exactly as we played. And he's like, but check this, Jules, because we had a little word And I said, so what's the one thing that you want to, what's the one outcome you want? And he's like, I really want to have a robust conversation with him. Now, that's not normal language.
No, exactly. Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
And he's like, Jules, he said to me when I was leaving, he said, hey, thanks for the robust conversation. That was great. Oh. And I walked out of there going,
wow.
And amazing. And then he went on to be invited in, like he then, because he then started getting along with that person, all his colleagues were seeking advice from him then. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but the big bosses were coming to directly to him, bypassing this manager. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And asking him to be involved in secret projects.
Wow, that's amazing.
And this is the person that came to me who had such a big story when they first sat down. Mm-hmm. And in the first hour that we were together, I had helped him heal the story that he'd carried around with him for 27 years.
Mm. Wow, we need to call you. We also need to add the story healer in there somewhere. Story.
Yes.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Wow.
And there's so many magical moments like that, right? It's like,
I know.
Okay, let's get the let's get the root cause. What's going on here? And let's give you a happy ending. Like, let's create a happy ending.
I'm sure there's a book that you are writing with all these beautiful stories in, right?
I am currently penning it.
I know. I kind of felt that. Oh, Jules, so where can we find you? So where can we find you online, on the socials, or where do you hang out? Where can we go and sign up to meet you?
Be brilliant now.
And I will put the links in below for everybody.
So bebrilliantnow.com. And very, very simple. And on socials, like even if you did Be Brilliant Now or Jules Black, so spelled J-E-W-E-L-L-S, Jules Black, that's my Instagram handle, my Twitter, and Facebook is Be Brilliant Now or Julian Black.
And you've got an ebook opt-in. When we opt-in, we talked about
that. So I've got a success mindset checklist.
Oh, beautiful. Wow.
Because often when we're, it's so simple to go through and go, I'm actually operating with a fixed mindset here. And so if I just shift just ever so slightly to thinking that life is happening for me, not to me, or how can I be grateful about this, like, very poorly wrapped gift? Or, you know, it's just a very subtle shift. So I've created a checklist that is just like, boom, very visual. Okay, let me stay on this side of the equation rather than this.
Awesome.
Side.
And that's at bebrilliantnow.com, right? Awesome. Well, I mean, I would love to chat to you. Like I said, these interviews are just so too short, but that's the way they are. I made it that way. We'll chat after. But can you end? Like, I always like to end on something kind of playful, or maybe it's not as playful as what you think it is, but tell us something that no one knows about you. Or, I mean, yeah, maybe your partner might know about you, but, like, you know, it's not widely known about you. You know, with the vision I have now, you've got this big bag in front, this big, huge sack in front of you. It's like, oh, which one can I pick out?
Surfing keeps coming up for me.
Okay. Yeah.
I love surfing. I'm not very good at it, but I've been doing it for years and years and years and years and years.
Right.
And so we would ultimately love to travel the world surfing.
Oh, brilliant. That's brilliant. Oh, love it. Well, Thank you, Jules. It has been an absolute pleasure having you here. I'm sure you've inspired everybody who's watching. And is there anything, any last words you want to just share before we close off today?
Thank you so much, beautiful Lou. I'm so excited to have been here. Party popper.
Oh, I love your props.
Party popper celebration moment for me. It's always a joy, and the work that you're doing in the world is so beautiful and so helpful for all of us. So I am really appreciative of you.
Thank you so much. Mwah. All right, everybody. Thanks, Jules. And
let's go and be brilliant now.
Be brilliant now. See you next time. Bye. Recording.